Okay, well, it was a short night, but definitely a good one. And I think as, going through the game film, it's just more and more evident how tough and resilient our players were last night. I know they just competed down after down for five full quarters, against a really good football team. Many guys that they plays that made a difference. It's really a team effort. That contributions from all three areas of special teams. Linemen are skilled players, or some skilled the specialists. Just a real good job by everybody of taking in the fight every down. But Denver's a good football team. They're making their share of plays. And plenty of things that gave us problems. Battle, but I'm really proud of that. Coaching staff, the assistants did preparation this week and also adjustments during the game, working through some situations. A lot of contributions from a lot of it could be the team. Another as quick turnaround as last week, but turnaround all day here in the middle of the week. Had a big challenge to things going on track for Texans. Get this game behind us. Or getting our preparations going here for them. So, where we're at today.
I'm curious, you mentioned the adjustments made by the coaches. Was one of the adjustments, including Dane Fletcher, more into the defensive game plan?
It was adjustment that we needed to make, and he was well prepared, stepped in there, and did a good job. I thought that, I mean, again, certainly wasn't perfect by any stretch, but our front four, front seven, well, front six really was the game we were in the middle. But, those guys competed hard. And they're obviously spread out. A little bit in the passing game. Did play the run as well as we need to. Was that a thing? But, we made a few plays and hung in there and battled with them. But the linebackers did a good job on the crossing patterns, a lot of the underneath patterns. Payne, always a guy that works hard, is well prepared, and it's going to force a lot of different roles. Stepped in last night.
To follow up on that, though, along the same lines with Jamie Collins, it seemed like that linebacker position, we've obviously saw a lot of Jerod before he went out this year and a lot of Dante and a lot of Brandon. It seems like this year maybe like the guys after that we haven't seen as much as of them, but this game between Dane and then Jamie, that those guys maybe contributed more or played more than they have. What along those lines with Jamie, what did you think he brought you last night?
I thought he was active. And he was in on a number of plays. A couple, like the last third down play, breaking up passes, jamming receivers. Had a couple big tackles for us there, even on the first play when Marino broke through the line. It was 11-yard game, but if he had hit the tackle, it might have been a lot more. So, I think everybody had their, had their moments and had some production. But at the same time, there's a lot of things got better in any situation, any circumstance. Especially when they don't make plays. Some 11-yard runs, some a lot of positive plays. Denver running here, so had a good job. But as you know, some of the games this year have been situationally kind of gone the way that they did. Last night's game was almost exclusively a nickel game, third game. The last three quarters was all full receivers. passing on almost every down. So we've had some games that have, or just the way they went, have gone a certain way, not necessarily the way, the conventional way, or the way maybe we had planned or game plan going in, but that's the way it unfolded. So some of those linebacker rotations or playing time situations are sometimes a function of the individual game. But this game, I never really had one for the linebacker on the field. So, you said that they have spikes. That our group that we started with, that so really was that grouping, you know, done as it wasn't last year.
You know, going back to the timeout Denver took the second timeout in overtime, after Tom had centered the ball on first down, it looked like Steven was coming out, was ready to kick, and they called timeout, and you sent the offense back on the field for one more snap. Well, I'm just curious about the process you thought it through in that situation, why you pulled the field goal unit back and sent the offense out for at least one more snap.
We just felt like, really at that point, just felt like the best thing to do was to try to protect the situation as much as possible. And, look, you know, you like to make those kicks and balls in the middle and all that, but, you know, anything can happen in football, especially with the conditions being what they were. We definitely wanted to kick on third down. When we sent the field goal team to kick on second down and they used their last timeout, it kind of, you know, gave me a little more time to look at the situation, and I probably should have made that decision in the first place. But, had the kick not been good, then there's no reason to give them any more time on the clock in overtime than necessary. So, by kneeling on the ball and taking the 2-minute warning, it wiped out, would have been a little bit extra time that had they gotten the ball back, it would have just given them less time to operate it without any timeout. So, trying to protect the situation as much as we could. But I really should have done that. And not since the field goal team out there on second down, I really should have done that in the first place. I just did.
So in essence, they had to burn two timeouts to get the stoppage with the 2-minute warning, but then they also had to call, they called their final timeout as well.
Right. And as it turned out, it gave us just, another chance to just, talk about a couple things with the field goal team, because they did, as you saw there on the last field goal, they did kind of go with a little bit of a different rush, which kind of once we saw, once we saw them send their field goal group out there, and we saw Osweiler go on the field, which that was obviously unusual, that we saw him out there. We knew they weren't going to put him in the line of rush, so we anticipated him as one of the jumper, as a guy sometimes that would try to shoot the gap, shoot one of the center guard gaps in a must block field goal situation to use his height length there. So it gave us a chance to talk about that. Then, of course, on the final kick, that's what they did, is they put Woodyard and Osweiler behind the line and mm-hmm. Dumped them to try to, to go for a desperation type of block. And, our guys, just had a little bit of talk about that. We, I thought that we protected that part of it pretty well, actually. We're in a good position to handle that. Logan and Conley both were able to get out on Woodyard and Osweiler, make sure that we had them protected. Just got a piece.
Was there a temptation during the course of the game to do more to defend against the run, either to put an extra guy in the box, and whether or not you choose to do that, how do you weigh that against the pass coverage? I mean, is that kind of part of the yin and yang of the strategy you have to determine how you're going to play this game?
Well, I think when you're up against Pate, you gotta be really careful about telling them what you do. We tried to have a good disguise package I mean, not that you're going to fool him. I mean, he could definitely figure it out. But we tried to disguise what we were doing. And I thought that, you know, progressively, as the game went along, that we, you know, were more competitive defensively. You know, obviously a big part of the score in the first half was, you know, the poor field position that we had. And combined with, you know, not great defense either. I mean, we were able to hold them to, you know, one field goal there. But then on their third touchdown drive, they took it, I want to say, like 80 yards on the field or whatever it is, long, you know, along the solid drive. And, yeah, 70 yards it was. So, you know, the first drive is 10 yards. The second drive, we hold them to a field goal. And then, you know, their drive right there before the, at the end of the second quarter that, that, you know, went the whole length of the field. I mean, that was kind of the, you know, the one that really, you know, I think hurt us the most. And so, we tried to, you know, at halftime just talk about how we could, you know, play things better rather than just, you know, scrap everything that we were doing and try to go to a different, you know, look and all that. Because one thing with Tatum is when you go to a look to take one thing away, then you just push the problem somewhere else. That you don't eliminate. You just push it to, you know, another part. So, you know, they came out, they took the wind in the third quarter, and, you know, we were obviously still concerned about the passing game. And so we didn't want to, you know, pack everybody in and, you know, get into, you know, invite them into throwing the ball because they did have the wind at that point. So kind of stuck with our game plan. Fortunately, we, you know, we made a few plays. We turned the ball over. We were able to get a, you know, stop them, ball back, and our offense converted those opportunities. And then the fourth quarter was really, you know, we finally got to the point where we made it a one-score game. And then, you know, we kind of felt like we were back on, you know, even turf and had the wind advantage, and, you know, we were able to, you know, come back and sort of have a fair fight there. So.
We're not so much with the decision to, in overtime, to defer with the kickoff and take the win. I mean, how much of a decision was it?
To give Peyton Manning and that offense, you know, you never want to just, you know, hand them the ball. But I just felt in that particular situation with the win as significant as it was, that we just had to stop them from getting into the end zone. And if we could do that, then we would have, you know, a significant advantage in the overtime period. We just had to make one stop and keep them out of the end zone. Even if they drove down and kicked a field goal, you know, I felt like in that game that the field goal, you know, to kick going into the lighthouse, you'd have to get the ball to the 25, you know, to be confident in making it. And depending on how the wind was gusting, you might even need to get it to the 20. Whereas, you know, going the other way, you know, I think that you could definitely get the ball, you know, to the uprights from probably anywhere inside the 45-yard line now. And then in between, for a challenge because of the crosswind and everything, at least to have a shot to make it, unless there was about a 20-yard difference in field position, to just attempt the field goal, to put it that way. And so, you know, I'm saying getting to the, you know, 25 on one end to the 45 on the other, or, you know, you could fight a yard or two there. But, I mean, basically that's what it looked like to me at that time. And so I felt like that was a big enough advantage to try to keep the win. And, you know, as it turned out, the punting game also, you know, was a factor in that, too. Just, you know, that we had the ball and not been able to score and be punting into the wind, and, you know, all that. It just, like I said, with their kicker and his distance, that, you know, wouldn't have taken much for them to be in field goal range. And I felt like, well, if that's the way we feel about it, might as well, you know, put them in that situation.
And it worked out. Hey, one last thing for me.
Going back to that.
I'm sorry.
Going back to that goal situation, a little bit confused. I told the captain that, you know, there's a little bit of a question of, like, do we want to, you know, are you talking about deferring? And I was like, no, we're not deferring. We're taking the win, period. And I said, well, that if they take the ball? And I said, no, it's not if they take the ball. So we actually, you know, with the captain, had a little bit of a conversation to make sure that we had that right. They had right what I wanted to do because it, it was a little bit of obviously an unusual type of situation. And, they were doing a good job. They just wanted to make sure that they had the division we felt was best. Got it, but it was not one of the normal,
One last question for me, Bill. Each year you talk about it, and a lot of coaches talk about how each team is different. When you think about all the adversity that this team has been through, especially on the field, primarily, what's the identity that you're seeing forged here that's different about this team versus other units you've had? With respect to there's still a lot of football to play, but what's the identity you're seeing right now?
I think to tell you the truth, that's really still to be determined. But I think one thing that we've shown is that, we can, mentally, that we have some toughness. We've been in some bad situations. Down, whatever it was, 10 points to Miami, down to these guys, behind at the end of the game against New Orleans, behind at the end of the game against Cincinnati, got the ball back and had a chance behind at the end of the game against Carolina. So, we've been able to hang in there, even when, it hasn't always looked great. It really, I would say that the season for us is kind of starting now. There are a lot of teams that were in good position that, wherever you are, 7-3, 6-4, 5-5, there's a lot of teams that are fighting it out, and what happens here will be determined by, what happens in the next 5 weeks. So, this is where this team and every other team will define itself. We've seen plenty of teams in the past have great regular season records and not end up on the winner's circle, and seeing other teams be 9-7, 10-6, whatever it is, and end up at the right place at the end of the year. So it's kind of in this league, you just can't take yourself out of the race by just having such a first start that you just got too much ground to make up. But it's really the teams that play well in December and January. End of November, December, January. Those are the teams that are standing in the end. So hopefully that's what we're going to try to do.
Yeah, mental toughness is a good. If you're going to have a quality to hang your head on, right?
Absolutely. Mental, physical toughness. This is a game of attrition. It's a game of just staying power. Great competition every week. You've seen all the players throughout the league that have gone down, that aren't playing, that are on injury reserve for this game, so forth. Every team's different. So you got to have depth. You got to have guys to step up and replace guys. You got to have your key players out there play well at critical times in the game. And obviously, critical games and critical points in the season. Combination of all those things.
Right, Bill, it's actually a two-parter, if that's okay, but I think they're quick answers. Just going back to the decision in overtime, I think it's obvious, but I just wanted to confirm it. If we were in the old overtime rules, is that even a consideration when, in the old rules, if they kick a field goal, game is over? Would you have still made the same decision if we were in the old rules?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that one. But, yeah, I I've mentioned this before, but I go back to the 1986 NFC Championship game where Coach Parcells against the Redskins took the win to start the game. And we went ahead 17-0, and that was the final score of the game. And I really think that decision was, a big decision in that game. Big decision, ultimately in that team's championship. And, I learned a lot from that. So I'm not saying that, that's always the right decision. Clearly each situation's different, but there's a place for it, and I think there's a time when it's right, and just thought that last night was the right time for us. So, but that decision by Bill in that game, you know, just it was a good lesson for me. That's such a huge factor in the game. If the conditions are, you know, what they are, it'd be such a big factor in the game that it's worth making that decision if you feel it's that significant. And you know, he did it in that, how many games bigger than the NFC Championship game? He did it in that game, and I think that was, you know, probably the difference in the game.
And the follow-up on a different topic is, you know, it's often said that when a player, you know, has the ball in his hands, he sort of carries the fate of the team in his hands too. And you know, we've seen Stephen Ridley struggle a little bit with the fumbles this year. You know, I'm curious from your viewpoint, are we reaching a breaking point here where the concern of, you know, having the team's fate in his hands is sort of trumped by the inability to hang on to the ball?
Well, ball security is, you know, is the paramount issue for your football team every week, our football team every week, and we fumbled the ball, whatever it was, 6 times last night. We can't go on like that. I mean, we just can't. And for multiple situations, multiple things involved, you know, it hurt us the week before in Carolina. But we're just not going to be able to overcome turning the ball over, however you turn it over, whether it's fumbles or interceptions or muff punts or, you know, tipped interceptions. I mean, whatever it is, almost snaps. I mean, we just can't overcome those for very long. I get it for a while, but in the end, it's just too big an advantage to give to the other team. So, you got to take better care of the ball. You know, obviously they had a hard time taking care of it last night too. There were multiple turnovers throughout the game. So, certainly the conditions were part of it. You know, in general, we've got to do a better job of coaching and playing and securing the ball. That includes everybody who touches it. It's not limited to one guy or anybody who touches the ball. So it's kind of the quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, returners, holders, the kickers, the snappers, everybody that touches the ball, we gotta take better care of them.